If you want to turn to Mark chapter 8, this is where we're going to. When I started this series, I had a feeling I would eventually turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Maybe you did too, if you know some of the history of hard questions. But if you know some of the questions that are asked in the Bible, you knew eventually I would have to get to this question. The answer to this question is going to be crucial. It's not going to be some touchy-feely thing. It's not going to be a very subjective thing. Yet it still is going to engage our heart as well as our mind. But this is going to be the hardest, maybe the biggest question. The answer to this question is going to have absolute eternal consequences for you and your life. That's how big this question is going to be. So to skim over it lightly, I don't think would do us any good. And also, for me to just give you analysis on it without giving you the opportunity to formulate your response to this question, I think would also be a travesty. I think we're going to be taking some time today to actually formulate a personal response to this question that we're going to ask today. We'll be there, Mark chapter 8, starting verse 27. You see the heading there, Mark, Peter's confession of Christ. If you have little notes in your Bible, you would also see that this story is rather important. It shows up in the other two synoptic Gospels, the other two Gospels of Matthew and Luke. If you want to take a note, you can write Matthew 16:13 and Luke 9:18. That's the parallel versions of this in the other Gospels. I chose Mark just because he has a really cool name, and also because Mark chapter 8, there's 16 chapters in the book of Mark. And most scholars do believe, and I do agree with them, that this is the center passage in the whole book of Mark. If you split it up and put your finger right in the center part, you would land right here at this confession. I believe Mark did this, and Mark, we also believe, was mainly a scribe. We believe that Peter was actually dictating a lot of this stuff. We get this from some of the early church historians that said that Mark wrote down what Peter dictated to him. So that Peter's confession, that this lands right in the center, I believe is going to be rather crucial. It's the center part of the book. It's the center theme of the entire gospel. It's really the theme of the entire Bible. It's the theme of all history, and it really is also the theme of our own life. And that is, what do we believe about Jesus Christ? Let's read this passage here. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" Fair question. I liken this question to the opening questions in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Rather simple. It's more of a head knowledge type of thing. You could probably rattle off a bunch of things. Well, the disciples rattled off a bunch of responses right at the beginning. They replied, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. Heck, for the sake of our fun time today, let's answer that question ourselves. Who do people say that Jesus Christ is? What are some of the prevailing thoughts about Jesus Christ in our culture today? One of the greatest teachers of all times. Yes, I keep kicking that thing. Woo! It's the joy of Pepsi. The church of a new generation. Yes. Good. Greatest teacher? What else? He's a what? He's a fraud. Yeah. He was a magician. He could do some really cool tricks, including perceiving himself as being raised from the dead. What else? God's son. Some people believe that he is God's only son. Yes. What else? The prophet. He's a cool guy. Yeah, that's one of them that they said, but he's a string of prophets if you follow the Baha'i faith. The Baha'i faith believes that there are just multiple prophets for different generations. Jesus was one of the greatest prophets, but then after him came two other prophets that speak to our times, and that's, I love the first prophet's name. His name's Bob. B-A-B, but that's how they pronounce it, Bob. And then, this is no joke, it really is. And then the greatest prophet that speaks to our generation is Baha'u'llah. And, but Jesus is just one in the long stream of prophets. What else? He's a higher power. Yeah. He is maybe an energy stream and force. Yes, what else? A spaceman. you know what? This whole concept of time travel. I mean, what if Jesus was just this dude, you know, 500 years later when it's got a lot of cool technology and he just jumped back in time and performed all these miracles? And wouldn't that be interesting? Yes. Let that cook your brain for a little while. Yes, what else? He was a what? He was a loving light. Yes, what else? Good. Anything else? Not a very hard exercise. I mean, people have a lot of different thoughts about who Jesus Christ is. And it doesn't matter if they're right or wrong, especially in today's culture. It seems like everything needs to be tolerated. So we listen to what people believe or people say about Jesus Christ. And we say, well, that's interesting. And, you know, it's a low point value, just like who wants to be a millionaire. These are $100, $200, $500 questions. Very simple. It's really a warm-up exercise as Jesus decides to not stop just at that one question. Verse 29, here it is. Hardest, maybe the biggest, maybe the most important question Jesus ever asked anyone. But what about you? Interesting, the word you there, it's plural. He's talking to his disciples. What about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Peter, as always, the spokesperson of the disciples, answers, you are the Christ. Do you have a little note there on what Christ says? Messiah, right, yeah. Messiah. That's probably, if I was going to choose a translation, I would choose Messiah. That's probably a better translation of that because it's a little more meaningful. And then Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. When Peter makes a confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, we often sometimes think it's a quick pad, maybe a seminary, theologically correct answer. But that's truly not the case. Remember that the people of Jesus' day have been waiting around for years, decades, for this person to come on the scene known as the Messiah. The person that was going to deliver them in some way, shape, or form from the tyranny and oppression that held them down. Now, of course, the tyranny and oppression that they thought of was the Roman rule over them. But the tyranny and oppression that Jesus came to overtake was the oppression that sin gets placed on our lives. And that is the thing that holds us down and the thing that crushes us and kills us eventually. The idea of sin. So when Peter makes a confession that Jesus is the Messiah, it's not supposed to be a quick answer. Loaded within Peter's response is a great confession of faith that Jesus is the promised one that had been promised from ages past and is going to come to rescue us. Let's immediately take this to the application now. Let's immediately ask ourselves the question. First of all, notice Jesus did not stop at the first question. It could have been easy. And I know a lot of people would rather Jesus keep it more on an easy $100, $500 question level. Let's just keep it simple, Jesus. Let's just take all the prevailing thoughts about you and just let me answer that question. It's easy, it's impersonal, and it's all intellectual. It has nothing to do with what I personally believe. But Jesus never stops there. Because Jesus doesn't really care about what people in general think about it. He doesn't care what society in general thinks about him. What does he really care about? What do you think? What do you personally say about Jesus Christ? Lynn, what about you? What do you believe? You didn't pick that up from some Bible class, did you? That didn't come to you from some pastor that said, Lynn, if you ever get asked this question, here are some really cool adjectives and phrases that you could throw out. I could tell, just in the way you said that, that had absolutely nothing to do with the Sunday school that you had, with the preaching that you've heard, with the confirmation program that maybe you went through, or the confirmation program that you have taught for years. This is coming straight from Lynn Moore. You believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. I'm sorry, I didn't get the second one. Lord and friend. Now you're all scared I'm going to ask you personally, huh? I will. I should have warned you. But I wanted to catch you off guard because I am assuming that when Jesus is doing this, he's probably catching his disciples just a wee bit off guard. He comes to them and says, yeah, well, what other people say? And they answer the question and he goes, okay, that's great. Now, what about you? Who do you say I am? Jason Rust. I could pick on Jason because he is a SEM student. He is going to be going to the seminary starting in June. Oh, bless your heart. Oh. We have a future pastor in our midst right here. Well, Jason, you are preparing for the pastoral ministry. You've gone through an absolutely fabulous confirmation program, I know, because I was there and know the person that developed that curriculum. You have been raised as a Christian in your life, and you've heard what other people say Jesus is. But what about you? What do you say about Jesus? I'm sorry, I don't know exactly what were you quoting from. What book of the Bible, what theological program, you weren't quoting from anything. That was not something that other people have taught you. This is not something that other people put words in your mouth. This is coming straight from the heart of Jason Rust. You see the point? When Jesus asks this question of you, he does not want a quick and easy response. He doesn't want a response that that other people have formulated and put into your mouth. He doesn't want a response that sounds really cool and theologically correct. He doesn't want just you to respond with what was quoted in Mark chapter 8. He wants to know, plain and simple, who do you say he is? Chris Houston, you've heard people talk, you've been raised a Christian, you have had a radical transformation in terms of your relationship with God. What about you? Who do you say Jesus is? Again, I can't tell you the passages that she's quoting from. I can't tell you the pastors that have put those words into her mouth. And I can't tell you any of that because I know for a fact she has formulated that response plain and simple on her own. Now, before you get too terrified that I'm eventually going to come to you and ask you the question, I really do want you to formulate a response. Now, so far I've chosen three people that I think would be rather safe and be willing to say out loud what they believe about Jesus Christ. Maybe you are one of the people sitting here that would rather not answer the question. Maybe you would rather say, you know what, that's nice and all, but I don't really have time to find out. I don't really have time to find out what does Jesus mean to me. I would rather you please, during the sermon, can you give me a response? Can you tell me what to say? Can you give me the right words to come out of my mouth so that I can be saved and that I can go on living my life without it really affecting me too much? And I'll tell you this. If you do not come up with a response to this question, You've said
a lot.
By not responding, you're making a confession of your faith. This is where I believe a lot of people land. Some people call themselves atheists. I think there's more people that are agnostic. People that really just don't know. The pressures of life are just too great. The time demands that they have are just too big. I can barely squeeze in an hour on Sunday morning. And Pastor Mark, I'm giving you an hour and a half because you talk so long. So isn't that good enough? The rest of my life, it's already been doled out between the wife, between the kids, between my boss, between my work, between my own workout, between my own sleep, between my own schooling, between my own homework. All the stuff that crams into my day. I really do not have time to sit there and come up with something to say about Jesus Christ. And by saying that, you've said a lot. You really have. You've said a bunch about who Jesus is. What you have essentially said is that Jesus is just not that important to me. You can be a Christian and still have this philosophy and mindset. I know for years I went around in my Christian faith really not having a whole lot of time, really doing a whole bunch of other things, maybe gaining a lot of nice $100, $500 answers in my head, but it really never came down to what did Jesus Christ mean to me. Where you are in your life is going to determine what your answer is going to be. You heard it from three different people, three absolutely radical different confessions. From a man, can I say seasoned by the years without being offensive? You're older than I am, and with that comes a lot of life experience. Also with that is someone in training to be a pastor and a shepherd. And another person who is currently going through amazing revelations and an amazing relationship with God on a daily basis. Where you are is going to determine what you say. Do not sit there and say, oh man, Lynn's confession of faith was rather cool. Can I write that one down? Can I jot those notes down? Gosh, what Jason said was really cool. I wish I, you know what, I think I'll just write that down and I'll memorize it. Or you know what Chris said is really neat. That's so true. I think I'll write that down and that will become my confession. No. He doesn't want your confession to be Peter's confession, Jason's confession, Lynn's confessions, or Chris's confession, or even my confession. He wants it to be your confession. Where you are at is going to determine what you say. We see from the text that Peter is right now really on a theological and emotional high. He is really excited about this person, this Messiah that has come into the world finally to give that rescue. Later on, he's going to make a different confession. Later on, people are going to say, what do you believe about him? And he is going to have an absolute radically different answer. Warming his hands by a fire with his Savior in a mock trial, a girl is going to ask him, hey, weren't you there with that guy? What do you believe about him? What do you think? And instead of coming out with a wonderful, bold confession, he is going to come out with a confession of, I don't know who that man is. It's not just going to happen once. It's not just going to happen twice. But Peter is going to confess his disknowledge of who Jesus Christ really is. And maybe you have gone through that same similar thing. One of the things that is interesting about this text, if you look at it, you see the word, who do you say I am? The word say is actually an interesting word because it's a present active verb. What that means is not just what have you formulated in your mind, not just what have others told you about me? Not just what have you spoken about in the past. It is truly what are you saying and continuing to say about Jesus Christ. And some of you might say, wait a second. A long time ago, I made a confession of faith. Maybe you were in eighth grade and you stood in front of a church and people, pastor and maybe elders, maybe even the church asked you questions and you said, yes, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, blah, 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 blah. You're like, hey, I've already made one confession. Doesn't that work? Doesn't that stick? Isn't that great? I tried that. I noticed my wife stepped out. This is good. I tried that with my wife once. She asked me, Mark, do you love me? I went, well, yeah. She said, well, you never say it anymore. Well, 10 years ago I did. On May 23rd, 1991. 1993, shoot. Ugh, 93. Scratch that on tape. Are we recording this? 1993. I did quick calculation. I said, no, we're not in 2001, we're 2003. I said it back then. Doesn't that count now? She said, no. I want to hear it, and I want to hear it from you now. That's the question Jesus is asking. That's what he wants to know. Not just what have you said about me, but what are you continuing to say about me? Not just what did you say about me here on Sunday morning when there's words printed up here in a great praise band and you're here amongst brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a great thing to find out. It's great to find out what are you saying about Jesus, but what are you continuing to say? What comes out of your mouth? What is your belief system? Most importantly, Monday through Saturday. Heck, throw in Sunday afternoon. What are you saying about him? You find out how important it is to continue to form a confession of faith because sometimes our confessions of faith fall really short. If Jesus took Peter's anti-confession, his disknowledge of him on that night that he was killed, Peter would be lost and gone forever. Praise God, we have a person and a God that will continue to hear our confession of faith even to the day that we die. You know, I always love to gauge kind of where our church is at. You know what is passionate about me, you know what my vision for the church is. We did this quite a while ago on the Answer This One For Me series. The last one in this was What Do We Do Now? And I really wanted to gauge where the people were at. And not only do I want to gauge where you're at, but I also want to give you that opportunity to formulate. Where are you at in your life? Are you at a point in your life that financially God is now amazingly providing for you? Then maybe that will reflect in your confession. Have you just come through a period and season of your life where you were probably the worst Christian on the face of this planet? Well, then that will color what your confession really is. Have you just come through a sickness or disease and had a radical healing? That's going to color what your confession really is. You take a look through the people throughout the Bible and you'll find that different things in their life will show that they have those different confessions of faith. I don't expect your confessions of faith to be similar. I expect them to be very different, all reflecting what does God mean to you right now? Who is Jesus Christ in your life? I have these little pieces of paper, and they're on the four communion stands. And it's a simple question. Who do you say I am? It's going to give you the opportunity to stop and formulate your response. It's going to give you the opportunity to make your confession of faith today. I'm going to invite you when you take communion to take one of these pieces of paper and fill it out. I don't want your name on it. Please, I beg you, do not write your name on this. The only reason why I would want your name is if you say, Pastor Mark, I'm not sure, and I need some help with this. If that's your response, and that could be your response, then if you would like to talk to me, you can put your name and your phone number and I'll call you. Because the answer to this question is going to have that eternal consequence. For those people that have the confession of faith of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as the person that has rescued them from the garbage in their life, that is the person that they trust and devote their life to, there is the eternal blessing and assurance that we are going to be in heaven with Him forever. That's why this question is so important. So, take a moment right now. We're going to have some silent time, and then we'll pray. And then when you go, fill this out, because I'd like to find out where you're at. It'd be fascinating to know. And it'd be great to know without the names, just to know, where are you at? What has God been doing in your life? What does God mean to you? Who do you say Jesus Christ is? And when you're done with it, just fold it in half and just toss it into one of the offering boxes that are there. And throughout this week, I'm going to be reading through them, and I'm going to be praying continually for my congregation and the people here, and thanking them, thanking God, especially for that confession of faith. Sounds like an easy question. The biggest one around, which is why we ask it today and why we need to have a response now. Let's pray. Father, Lord, it would be easier just to say what other people say about you. It'd be easier to take what maybe pastors have said or parents have said or confirmation classes have said or instruction classes or Bible studies or my friends or that really spiritual person in the church or something I heard on the radio last week. And sometimes we like to make that be our confession. And Lord, we know it's got to go a step further. We know it's got to go to what we think. And Lord, help us not to confuse the answer. Churches are imperfect. Pastors have faults. Parents sometimes leave us. Friends sometimes desert us. Let us not base our opinion of who you are with our opinion of church, religion, parents, or friends. Pastors are imperfect, but you are perfect. Churches have faults, but you are faultless. Friends may leave, but you never will. Parents may abandon, but you stick closer than a friend. And Lord, if we don't have an answer, if we have been living our life without an answer to this question, help us not to just take the easy road and not answer the question. Because in not saying anything, Lord, I know we've said a lot. But where are we at, Lord, in our life? And help us to make that confession of faith today. Who do people say I am? Easy. What about me? It's a little bit harder. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.